This is Tim Peel, former National Hockey League referee. You're listening to Blues Hockey Podcast.
Welcome back to the Blues Hockey Podcast. Your host, Jason. And this week, we got a little bit of a special treat for you. So we're going to dive into some prospect talk with Mike Meyer, who is probably one of the very few, if not only person that I can really find that actually is writing regularly about Blues and Blues prospects on the internet. So Mike, thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks so much here for having me. I truly appreciate it.
Cool. So like we always do with new guests and we always talk about that, our usual thing is let everybody know, like, how you became a Blues fan. And like most people, obviously Griffey grew up in St. Louis, and some people you just stumbled upon the team. So
right.
Let me know how you became a Blues fan.
Well, I think actually a lot like most Blues fans, or at least, you know, a good portion here of them, it was a huge family influence. So like my dad, you know, he was born in 64, team was formed here in 67. Like, so he was a fan for his entire life. And so that just translated very largely here to like my brothers, my sister, like here, myself. And so we actually had for a little while season tickets. And so that was a great time to be able to just become a Blues fan. You know, we just went to a ton of games here, starting in around the TJ Oshie, David Perron era. And it was just a really great time just be able to grow up and be able to start watching this team.
Yeah, I think that was kind of the rise from the ashes era, as I like to call it. So we were bottomed out, and you kind of got the young, exciting players. I kind of see not exact parallels, but sort of parallels to what we're going through now. And we'll get into that in a little bit here. So that's awesome. So, like, yeah, mine was obviously growing up, and obviously I was part of the whole Brett Hull era. So it's like he was everywhere. It's like he was on every TV and to my office. Obviously nobody can see this because it's audio. I have the Brett Hull comic book prominently displayed in my office here, so that's something I grew up with that. So it's awesome that kind of see that. So talking about now, you've obviously grew up with Blues fans, so who is your favorite player, either you can say current player, growing up, run the gamut for me.
So it's really tough to boil it down to one player. So obviously, again, growing up, became the fan in around the Oshie, Perron here, like era. But I also grew up watching, you know, Brett Hull, Big Al. But if I had to boil it down to one player, it's probably Pierre Turgeon.
Oh,
and for me, if you have not, or like the fans have not, you know, gone back and watched, like there's so many highlights of Pierre Turgeon that's online. Do yourself a favor and go on and watch it. And so like I was too young to be able to watch him, like obviously in his prime. I mean, like I was wee little baby, like just kind of watching that. But it's truly criminal that this man is not in the Hockey Hall of Fame. 1,294 games, 515 goals, and 1,327 for his total points.
Which is ridiculous.
The only crime is that he doesn't have a cup.
Yeah, he was a part of some great teams too. Obviously, the goal that sticks, the goal against the Coyotes in Game 7, double overtime. Mm-hmm. That's the one that probably sticks out most Blues fans if you think of Pierre Turgeon, him jumping up and down after tipping the shot in from the point. But yeah, he was the guy who kind of came in the number one center kind of after the Chris remembers kind of after the Janney era, kind of like that kind of era, kind of like, and. Yeah, he's part of some really great teams. Like, you know, a lot of Hall, he was surrounded by a lot of Hall of Famers, and it's kind of shocking. And I don't know if you had a chance when the Winter Classic was in St. Louis in 17. They had the alumni game here. If you told me he was still playing, I wouldn't have been shocked, because that's how good he looked on the ice. Like, he was just going around everybody and looked like Pierre Turgeon, like the Pierre Turgeon I remember. He was like, I was like, this guy could easily put in like 7 goals today, and I wouldn't, and it wouldn't be surprising.
Right.
He looked great. So I was, I was like, he's still great. So I'm kind of shocked as well.
Even just putting them out there on the ice as like a power play specialist, I'd be fine with that. Fine. Just burning a roster spot just for him to go out on the power play, I'd be okay with that.
I remember him. He was always a very good, like, behind the net guy.
Right.
just like a lot of like Blues centers, you know, you remember, like, I remember obviously going back that far, we talked about like from Oates to Gianni, mm-hmm. Pierre Turgeon, and Doug Weight after him kind of was pretty decent at that as well. But Pierre Turgeon was definitely a very underrated goal scorer as well. As you said, over 500 goals, and that's
right.
something you don't think about for a center position for Blues.
Right.
There's not many really high scoring ones in the, I say, modern-ish era. So right. it's kind of interesting.
And they're all passers.
Yeah.
They're all passers, so, you know.
Yeah, so yeah. it's very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So you'll probably see me online just, you know, tweeting every single time that there's a mention of, like, the Hockey Hall of Fame, like, get number 77 in. Just get number 77 in. And then I will be the one who's up in arms because 77 is yet again passed over.
Yeah, I know. It's under criminally. Hopefully might have been in the mix of, or maybe I wrote him in, is when the Blues had their Hall of Fame thing that they mm-hmm. did this year. And mm-hmm. obviously they kind of got some of the older guys in first, and they'll slowly kind of move it into the, which, yeah, they're building it from the bottom up. So I get that. So, but he is definitely a one that will be in the Blues Hall of Fame. If not the next couple soon. Years within the next, I say next 5 years, because they're probably doing a handful a year, you figure. So
right.
build it in there, and he'll be in there for sure. Yeah. So we got the kind of like talking about Pierre Turgeon there. So let's transition to the current team.
Yeah. You know,
current team that's kind of moving. I say bottom down is bottom down is not like the best term, but considering where they've been the last 3 years, obviously mm-hmm. from the cup, and I'll stick by this to the day I'm no longer on this earth. If it wasn't for the COVID stoppage, I truly believe that they would have been in the cup final mm-hmm. that year. They were rolling
yep.
and looked great. Like, everybody was yep. clicking, Binnington on down. Everybody was doing great. And they're great. And even 21, they're really good too.
Mm-hmm.
22 was good, but it was kind of like a mirage to a degree. So yes. you kind of like the offense covered up for the defense, and
you saw the trickle. Okay. Yeah. You started to see a little bit of the cracks, but
yeah. And then obviously 23, it came off the wheels came off the bus, and
right.
everything bottomed out. So they made some trades, everybody's gone, but they brought in some interesting guys.
Yes.
For virtually nothing. So from Kasperi Kapanen, Jacob Vrana looks yep. like an interesting pickup. Who knows what we're going to do now. So what do you kind of see this team as constructed now? Obviously, the draft is coming up, and we'll get into that. But if you see the team right. as constructed now, what do you see kind of as the issues, and what do you think they can do moving forward to improve?
That is the, I think, the $6.5 million question.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, the average AAV here of most of our defensemen. Which, this is so, so tough, Bill, to think of. Because, like you said, this team here was doing so well. And, like, on paper, this should be a playoff team. Mm-hmm. No questions asked. And so, when you look at it, this upcoming season is going to be so pivotal here for this team. Because the current team itself, it looks good. Again, on paper, it looks good. But now that you've had coaches like Mike Van Ryan left, Craig McTavish left. And so I think if, like, you had to be able to summarize the team, I mean, it's underwhelming. It's very much so underwhelming. Yeah. And you want to look at this team and the results that they had last year, and you have the prototypical, like, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. And so at times, like, it's not for a lack of talent that's there, but it's more so just the lack of effort. We saw so many times, you know, the guys that they just got hung up, you know, their heads were hanging. They were looking up at the rafters like, oh, again, we let up another backdoor goal, like, you know, and just can't seem to get it going. And so it's not for a lack of talent. I mean, it's just, in my opinion, it's for a lack of compete. And so this team here realistically has the talent to be able to compete, to be able to make a playoff spot. It's just, how are they going to be coached throughout the season to be able to move past adversity? And so now that we have had all the changes over, you know, we have Ryan O'Reilly, we had Vladimir Tarasenko, we had all of these main pillars move on. How are these young guys going to be able to really take over? So really what we saw here last season has the ability to repeat, or it has the ability to have all these guys do a major step up and truly take over. So it's going to be extremely interesting. And I think this coming season is going to be a lot more telling for a lot of these players and what the future is going to really look like here for it, as opposed to what, you know, if this what past season here was a reflection or truth here for that matter.
Yeah, it seems like the common word used around on Twitter, another thing is the retool.
Yes.
This team is definitely through a retool. Though the last couple of years, like I say, like the team is definitely as constructed now, I think definitely is it going to be a it could be a playoff team if a proper system is put in place.
Yes.
That's my I agree there. I thought the Craig McTavish thing was weird.
I never liked it from the beginning.
Yeah, it was very odd to me, like bringing right. in a coach like that. But I'm like, okay, well, obviously they know something I don't. So I'm a guy talking in my basement about hockey, and they're coaching. So obviously they know something.
Right.
So I figured, like, obviously they're bringing him in. And then no, like I always struck. I'm probably one of the few that are always like very much trust Doug Armstrong for as much yeah. as that he's not great on the contract side. I'll be honest there, but the trade wise, he's always figured it out. Like it's very odd on how he's pulled off some of these trades. Like the Ryan O'Reilly trade, obviously is the masterpiece because obviously he brought us a cup. But yeah, as constructed, it's very odd. So they're starting to get an infusion of talent, young talent, basically.
Yes.
He's done a very good job. We've kept a lot of the first round picks finally for the first time in a while. So we're starting to build those up. And obviously through the trade deadline last year, he picked up essentially three first round picks. He gets the two for this year. Mm-hmm. And also Zach Dean, who's a first rounder. And we were talking about two Zachs here to start. So Zachary Bolduc and Zach Dean, I think, are two interesting ones for me.
Yeah.
Bolduc, obviously, Blues fans, by the time we're posting this, he just won a Memorial Cup. A couple players on the team have reached the Memorial Cup, but have not won it. So, like, Robert Thomas was the last one that was close to – he competed for it, and then he didn't win. So Zachary Bolduc actually scored a goal that game, too, and they want to destroying the team.
He looked pretty doing it. I mean, he must have taken at least, like, 50 shots that game.
Yeah, well, he is very much a one-timer on the power play guy, and that's great to see.
Yes.
So let's talk about him first before we transition to some other guys real quick. Zachary Bolduc, kind of a guy that was – when he was drafted, a lot of people were like, huh, that guy. It was kind of a guy a lot of people thought was later in the first round, even some second rounder, depending on who you looked at. And now he's kind of looking good. So what's your current – give me some background of what you think of Zachary Bolduc.
I really like him. We saw him last year in the preseason, and one of the biggest critiques from especially Chief here was his 200-foot game, his defensive game here more so than anything. He didn't look completely out of place, but you could tell that he's not ready to be able to make that leap. And so fans I know are ready to have him ready to go here in the NHL, and I'm pumping the brakes here on that. And I think he needs at least one, maybe even two seasons here in the AHL before he's ready to come up. He was 20 years old here playing here just amongst his peers, playing against guys who are a little bit smaller than him. He's ready to move on here from the juniors. There's no question here about that. I mean, he scored 50 goals here down at the juniors. He's ready to move on.
Yep.
You've got a guy who, if all goes well, I mean, you could see another, even like a David Perron or a Pavel Buchnevich, you know, that's down, that can be able to play 200-foot game. But if all else fails, you could also have like a Mike Hoffman type where the dude just pumps goals. He's not great defensively, and you sometimes don't need that. You just kind of like Kyrou, you just don't need him to be a liability.
Yeah.
Pump the goals in here as much as you can here. You know, that's great, but just don't constantly give up the puck and be a minus 40 here for that matter.
True. Yeah. That's definitely a thing. So, yeah, I remember that during the last season. It looked pretty decent in the preseason. And I know it's a lot of fans already, you know, like you said, saying, I'll see you on the Blues this year. Call him up or whatever they're saying. And it's very hard for a lot of guys to, like, obviously you see guys like Connor Bedard and they're obviously, but that's, you know, generational talent we're talking about. Not many guys make leaps. Yes. Like even Robert Thomas, when he made the leap the year he did, it was with the Cup. He was pretty insulated. If you think about it, I mean, you put Bozak and Maroon on that line near the end of his thing, and he had a lot of third and fourth line minutes for a while until obviously he got hurt near the end. But he was pretty well insulated before, and that helped him tremendously. So maybe they'll see Bolduc with that. But they got a lot of guys that are – they got about nine pretty decent forwards right now that you're looking at. So it's going to be pretty hard to squeeze him in, or he's going to have to beat out some, like, set guys, basically, or guys that have established spots. Right. So right. I agree with you. I think a year or two is probably a good idea.
Right. And I would rather not have him play third line or just relegated down to like fourth line minutes. I mean, like, that's not the type of player that Bolduc here is. That's not even the player that Zach Dean here is. Like, these guys are players that need minimum third, but ideally second line minutes to just be able to truly play the game that they can be able to play. I mean, this is a fast guy that he can again, give him an open shooting lane. And the guy, a lot of times more than not, he's going to bury it. He's at least going to be able to put it on net and hopefully be able to put up for like a juicy rebound. But awesome. he is absolutely a guy who I think would benefit so much from a year or two here in the minors, grow, continue to mature here into his body, learn a little bit more here about playing against guys who are, you know, half of his age, you know, twice his age, you know, here or what have you. And just continue just to grow and mature. There's no rush for a guy like this. Like you said, we've got other guys who are ready to make their way here on up, earn spots here on the third, fourth line, even make their way and push here like into the second, and just let this guy continue to grow and marinate.
Yeah. And then we talked about Zach Dean. So Zach Dean is a former first round pick, was picked by the Golden Knights, 32nd overall, I believe. And got him in the Ivan Barbashev trade. Obviously, they're very much loving that trade because Barbashev is on their first line, tearing it up with Eichel and Marchessault right now, and they're up currently 2-0. So they're loving him right now. And, and it's not just Barbashev, so it's not me like trash talking Barbashev, but there's a lot of guys who play very well their contract years. And
shocker.
And then turn out to be like maybe have another good year after that and then kind of slowly trail off. Barbashev's been great for us, and don't get me wrong, I love the guy, but he's getting paid a lot more than we can afford, so unfortunately he won't be coming back. But but to me, Zach Dean seems like a Barbashev-esque type of guy that could grow into, so I kind of almost seem like
higher
a
higher upside.
It sounds like a one for one. So tell me more about Zach Dean.
And it's really interesting that the Blues were able to get Zach Dean here, like in this trade, especially for a guy here like Ivan Barbashev. Dean was actually a little bit more of like an injury prone type player who did have a lot of high end upside, plays a full 200 foot game, and really, I think, could be able to have second line potential. But because of his injury and like in his injury prone, like just his bad luck here in the juniors, I think that Vegas was willing to just be able to move on from him and just say, you know what, we've got time. Let's be able to move on here from Zach Dean. But he's a guy who then just went off here this last season. 70 points here in 50 games here for the Olympics. He actually played head-to-head up against Zachary Bolduc before that they were able to go to the QMJH finals. So it was really, really interesting matchup. You know, it was very bittersweet here that he got knocked out. But even in the playoffs, you know, 10 goals, 26 points in 13 games. That's nothing else to sneeze here at.
No, I think that's really good. So I'm really, I really kind of, after I heard it was for a prospect, I kind of quickly looked up the prospects. I'm like, who's our top prospects? Who are we going to get? And I forgot the name of their other one. And Dean was the other one. And I'm like, we get one of these two guys. And I was texting a group of friends. I'm like, we get one of these two guys. This is a win for us. For sure, because a lot of people are like, oh, I want a first rounder. I want a second rounder. And I'm like, okay, sure. But if you can get a prospect that's like at least a year or two along, you're kind of speeding up your timetable of competing again. And so I think getting Zach Dean was definitely a coup for Doug Armstrong at the deadline.
Yes. Yeah. And he hit gold, I think, at the right time. Because, again, with the injury bug really hitting Dean, it was just like, I think we can be able to part ways here with him. But I think whenever you're going to see him here in camp, that you're going to see a 200-foot player and a guy who should be able to play in all situations, maybe not right away, but as he continues to mature and be able to get used here to the NHL, he's a guy that you could be able to see at any single spot and look very comfortable here doing it. So I think the Blues absolutely got a steal here with Zach Dean, as long as he can be able to stay healthy and this injury bug that he was hitting here in the past just kind of stays that. It was just a small little injury bug.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited about him, but probably the one that everybody is definitely talking about that after the year he had at the University of Minnesota, he wound up having a great year and kind of coming out of nowhere. So Jimmy Snuggerud is effectively known on our podcast, Snuggernuts. So so he had a great year on the top, let's say the top line of NCAA with Logan Cooley and Matthew Nyes, who That's who I wanted. If the Ryan O'Reilly trade, if I was like, if they can pry him out of there, that would have been
you
great.
You and me both.
But obviously, I knew that wasn't going to happen. They still got a lot out of Toronto. Yes. Wrong. But Logan Cooley obviously staying another year. So not kind of surprisingly, not surprisingly, right. Due to the Arizona voting the arena down. So he gets to come back, and Sugarud is definitely staying another year. So they get to continue to terrorize the NCAA. So Sugarud, he was kind of a guy that was knew he had a great shot. We know that that was like his big thing in the draft, but his like skating was not great. Was like his knock.
Right.
Kind of proved that wrong to a degree. 50 points in 38 games, and I'm sure you'll get into more about that. So let me know a little about Jimmy Sugarud, effectively known as Snuggernuts.
Effectively known as, I'm going to have to. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get away with writing that here in some articles, but right. I'll be able to do my best here, at least on Twitter. He is absolutely a player that helps make his line mates better. If that's probably the best way to be able to describe it. I mean, this season, yes, he absolutely benefited, but he earned his way onto that top line. There is no doubt about that. Again, he completely surprised everybody. 21 goals, 50 points here in 40 games. He did not look out of place here in the playoffs. He did not look out of place here fighting here for the championship. And it was just so upsetting to see that he didn't get that championship. It was near like the third period, I believe. I mean, he had an absolute chance and he just rang one off the pipe to be able to just put Minnesota here up. I believe it was 3-2 or 4-3, like here at that point in time. And you could just see that he looked up at the rafters and was like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. But again, he's a guy, you let him be able to hold on to the puck, continue to just, I mean, he just processes the game so fast. You can be able to see it in the way that he is skating, in his ability. It reminds me at times, not exactly like Robert Thomas, but kind of like a Robert Thomas-like. And he just makes plays that you don't see until it fully happens. You're like, oh, okay, I didn't see that. And so I think you're going to be able to see a guy, as long as he can really continue to process, he could completely force his way as a top-line prospect, second-line, fit right in there with Zach Baldin, Zach Bolduc. And we can be able to see a line here moving forward of Snugger, Bolduc, and Dean. And I would not be surprised in the slightest that they are taking second line, first power play, second power play here time frame, and that he is putting up 20, 25 goals here on a season very, very easily.
Yeah, it's nice to have like fun prospects to talk about, so that they're very good about finding very exciting prospects later in the first round. Because normally in the first round, it's always guys that need to develop, which is just fine for where the Blues are at. Obviously struggling now. But having Sugarud, having Bolduc, and having Dean is definitely, and you're talking two of those three are going to probably be on the Thunderbirds this year for sure.
Yeah.
Sugarud, depending on when the season ends, and maybe he'll get like a ATO or something like that.
Yeah.
Or,
might, depending on if he chooses to leave.
Yeah, it might see him near the end. He might go back. I wouldn't be surprised if he does 2 to 3 years at Minnesota, but who knows? I think he really wants to get that championship. So I think having Cooley back there, I think that they have a pretty good shot at it.
Right.
There's two more prospects that, if you want to call them prospects, we can call them prospects. Both have played with the Blues already. Jake Neighbors and Joel Hofer. So obviously, Hofer pretty much from the beginning of the year was pegged to be the backup for this coming year. So he pretty much with the contract he signed being a one-way deal, they're not going to after having Greiss signed for the 1 year, you knew he was pretty much going to be given the job. It was always going to fall flat on his face, and he pretty much didn't. Carried the Thunderbirds a good chunk of the year with his play. Ended really well. So, and then obviously Jake Neighbors, up and down year, I think you can say, for the Blues, kind of finding his way. So what do you think about where do you see Jake Neighbors and Joel Hofer kind of fitting in this year with the Blues? Because obviously both of them are going to probably, I think you'll see Neighbors the second half of his year is much better than the first. So I think him, I think him sticking with the Blues is a high possibility. Hofer is definitely the backup. So give me what you think about those two guys.
Yeah, I don't think that you're really going to see Neighbors go back to Springfield here like he did last season. You know, he split, what was it? It was 43 games here in St. Louis and then 23 here in Springfield. So I doubt you see him in Springfield here at this point. I think just like Bolduc, that he has proven everything that he needs to here at this point, like at his current level, and he needs to be able to move up here a little bit. And I think the Blues would absolutely benefit here from him being currently on that roster. And really, I think what you have seen from Neighbors is exactly what you're going to get. I mean, the kid is a brick wall. Stands at 6 foot. He's 201 pounds here as of right now, and he's probably going to only continue to put on just a little bit more weight. But the kid's like all muscle when you look at him. I mean, he's a big, big dude. But just as much as he uses his body build to create time and space here for his teammates, he also creates time for himself to be able to just put the puck in the back of the net. So where some people are hoping that this kid's going to be a first line player, I don't see him being that first line player like all the time. He may be able to work his way up there just simply like due to chemistry and just like the way that he plays the game, but he's probably going to continue to be like topping out in around like a second line type of a player. And then you've got, Joel Hofer, who he just wins everywhere that he goes. I mean, this kid is covered in awards and just highly decorated here right now. His statistics here last season did not look nearly as good, I think, is like the last season. But when you look at like the number of games here played, I believe he was like number one or number two here, like in total minutes played of all goaltenders in the American Hockey League here last season. Fact check me here on that because I don't have his stats in front of me. But then on top of that, I mean, this guy just continues to play and play and play. So I would not be surprised that he starts to actually push, maybe not this year, but maybe next year, that he starts to push Jordan Binnington for some starting time. And I think we all know Jordan Binnington, that he does a lot better if he's getting pushed. And so this could be a really, really good dynamic here for him. And don't be surprised here also if you try to see Joel Hofer take a shot or two here at a net when he gets the opportunity.
Yeah, that's the thing that the Blues love to have. They have all their both goalies now are very good puck handlers, and that's
Yes.
only going to benefit this team, especially the getting the puck out of the zone faster with the defense. So hopefully that gets in the whole new scheme they're going to work on with the whatever the new coach has announced. We'll see. They are hoping to have it by the draft, which is coming up soon.
Right.
So that's what we call segue. So we're going to segue into the quick draft talk. We're going to focus on basically the number 10 pick because obviously getting down to where the Blues
Yes.
are available in the 25, 29, it's really hard to kind of do. Mind you, number 10 isn't easy either. So
No.
the number 10 pick, the Blues have the highest that they've had since they drafted Alex Pietrangelo. So, and second highest in the year they drafted Jaden Schwartz, Vladimir Tarasenko at 14 and 16. So number 10 is pretty high. They're all over the place. Every mock draft that I had,
Yes.
almost every single one is different. So we've had
Yes.
guys, I'm just going to throw a couple names on. If they're on your list, you can go and talk about them. About the Blues taking defense to the Blues taking offense. Guys like, if he's available, which I don't think is going to happen, is like a David Reinbacher is the big defenseman who everybody's talking about, more like a Sider type of defenseman. That's the big one. Like maybe I think early on he's projected that, and he's kind of slid down because he got hurt at the World Championships, right? I think he got hurt, or but and you have guys like Oliver Moore, and you have guys like Ryan Leonard. If they're like they could be all over the place. So give me like let's give me a solid 2 to 3 names that the Blues should kind of like Blues fans should be kind of like looking at as possible guys that the Blues may take.
I think every single one of those players that you mentioned here are absolute possibilities here because, like you said, I mean, shuffle the deck here beyond the top three picks. And you just have no idea. I mean, you could be like sense here for almost every single team that's drafting here above them. The current one that I was looking here at, Matthew Wood, he's a definite prospect. Here's a left winger here out of the University of Connecticut. He could be, because he's got really high skill, especially for a left winger. And as you've seen, like the Blues don't have a lot of up and coming wingers. And so he could really fit the mold here. He doesn't really have the greatest of skating, very subpar, which could be developed. But if you also think about like when Tage Thompson was drafted, he didn't have great skating. We've all seen what
Well,
happened
he
with
does
Tage
that.
Thompson, right? So there's no telling here with that. Tom Willander, right-handed defenseman. He plays here out of Sweden here, I believe. He and Reinbacher both could be very, very interesting defensemen. Both fairly good offensive defensemen here as well, but also does a very good job at preventing any sort of offensive here attack. These guys are ones that who could have very reasonable middle, like second pairing upside, but also able to play like up on your top pairing and would not look out of place. And so when you look at the current depth chart here, especially in St. Louis, they also don't have a lot of high-end defensemen. So it just depends on where you think that the biggest need here is. Willander here is, I think, a very safe choice, but so is Axel Sandin Pelka. And I always butcher here this name. He's another guy here who is in the SHL. He's another guy who I would firmly believe could be able to play like within your top pairing defenseman. And I think would be a great pick here for the Blues with his combination of his offensive ability. And again, like just with his sound defensive ability, his ability to just be able to take time and space away here from the attackers here, just like in his own zone. I mean, it's best guess here. It's completely best guess because they've got Colby Barlow, Zach Benson, Oliver Moore. You just keep naming him. I mean, again, 10 different players, and you're like, oh, okay, he fits. Yep, sure, he fits, you know. And I think it could really do the Blues very well to draft a defenseman, especially with one of those top picks that are if they're available here still. But it would not surprise me if they just went forward.
Yeah, there's definitely some high-end forwards, depending if they fall. I know like Benson is a guy that everybody loves, but I know the size thing is seems to be like his, like the big knock why he's
His biggest draw.
kind of dropping. I mean, he was the second leading scorer behind Bedard, and that's kind of a, you know, it's that's kind of a big thing to me. But then but Oliver Moore, same thing, a little bit of a smaller guy, but like I think the thing that sticks out for me is every single person that I've read that he's the best skater, fastest skater, best skater. So something with me like. That's just where the game is trending to me, as much as I know the Blues fans love like grinding guys down and doing that stuff. But I think that's something like Oliver Moore, you have that, you have a 1-2 thing of like Thomas
Jordan
and Moore
Kyrou,
and Jordan Kyrou up
Thomas.
there. That's three pretty fast guys, you know. So that'd be pretty good thing. So yeah, I think the defense is very interesting too, because I know Wallander has been the new kind of I say flavor of the month, but he's kind of come out of nowhere. He was kind of a second round pick for a while, and then he had a really good, I think, the
The world's
World
championship and
Championships, they played really well, and he got pushed up. So now I saw him, and I think the Athletic was the number 10 pick. So like I was kind of surprised. I'm like, who's this guy? I didn't see him in any draft so far, and then he's out of nowhere. So Reinbacher's gotten kind of moved up and down. I've seen him as high as 5. I've seen him as low as 15. So it's gonna be a fun draft night because you just don't know what's gonna happen. Kind of after you said the third pick. It's kind of like a crapshoot because you got the Russian kid Makiev, which I don't want to mess it up, but he's basically called the best prospect since Ovechkin, which is crazy to think about. But he's not gonna get it for 3 years. So if a team can wait that long, like a team at the Blues, maybe you can wait that long for a guy, but I don't think he's gonna be available at 10. I
With
really
the
see.
10th, even if he falls to 10, I think I would rather get a little bit more of a sure thing and somebody that can maybe be a little more of an instant impact than somebody like that.
Yeah, I think the defense, it wouldn't be a bad pick, and it wouldn't be like sad if they get one of those three guys that you mentioned. Because I kind of like watched a little tape on all of them, and they all look great. So I mean, and the Blues are, like you said, don't really have a defenseman. And we talked about prospects. Notice we didn't mention one defenseman. Because to me, Perunovic is not a prospect anymore. He is 24. So you're kind of at the point of past that point, in my opinion. So
And
it's
really outside
interesting.
of really like even outside of Perunovic, there's not really any guys who you have pegged as a top pairing defenseman. And so you know, I mean, people wanted to move on from Parayko, which, okay, I get it, but who are you going to get to take his minutes?
Yeah, it's very interesting. So draft coming up at the end of the month, June 27th, we'll be doing something here on the podcast. So stay tuned for that. So we'll kind of start getting wrapped up here. So before we get out of here, Mike, once again, thanks for coming on and give me all this knowledge. But before you get out of here, please let everybody know where they can find you, get a hold of you, and read all your stuff.
Yeah. Our articles here. Oh, go check us out. Go check us. You can tell it's getting late and I'm done here for the day. Go check us out. Hockeywriters.com. We've got a great group of guys who are covering the Blues here right now. Go follow me here on Twitter, M_Meyer3, M-E-Y-E-R-3. Those are the main two spots that I actively post. I've tried starting to be able to do a little bit here on the Instagram, but we'll see if I kind of continue up here with that one. So we'll have to see. But gotcha. Twitter and over at the Hockey Writers.
Yep. And then for us, like normal, if you want to find us on Facebook, Instagram, Blues Hockey Podcast, at Blues Hockey NHL for Twitter, website, blueshockeypodcast.net.com, all the good stuff. Appreciate everybody listening. Mike, thanks for doing this. I appreciate it. And maybe we'll get you on right before after the draft and give us analysis of how the draft went. So we can talk about that too. So sounds good. I appreciate it. And thanks for your time. I appreciate it. Yep. Have a good one.